this sarcastic, angry question in the middle of this psalm has been redeemed. Why? Because in the very middle, he says what? Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Because Jesus Christ died for your sins. The answer is yes. Someday we're going to rise from the dead and praise him because he took our penalty and he took our sins upon him. If you know the resurrection is coming, it's impossible to be in utter darkness.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we continue our summer psalm series looking at one of the probably most difficult psalms today. Timothy Keller takes us to Psalm 88, a song that addresses the dark caverns of our soul but offers some insight on the hope even in our darkest moments. But first, we're joined by Ann Kennedy, the author of a new devotional with a new take dealing with the frustrations that we're all feeling but are afraid to address. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Our guest today, Ann Kennedy, has written a daily devotional as we talk about meditating on scriptures and we're working our way through our summer psalm series. Her devotional is a little bit different than the typical or the average devotional geared towards women. As I see the devotionals that come across my desk on a regular basis from the publishers, often the ladies' devotionals are covered in flowers, they're very bright, they're very vibrant, and they're attractive with qualities like joy and happiness, and they're very exciting. That's kind of the theme I think a lot of women's devotionals go by, but not Anne's book. Her book is called Nailed It, 365 Readings for Angry or Worn Out People. It's basically the opposite of your typical daily devotional, but with a purpose and a reason for it. So, Anne, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message and joining us on the broadcast. Tell us a little bit about your audience for this. It talks about writings for angry and worn out people. What is your purpose for this devotional?
I think many Christians today have a kind of a lackadaisical or even non-existent view of suffering, first of all. We have many, many decades of the idea that Christian life is really supposed to be about joy, which it is, and even happiness, and that God wants us to be good, he wants us to behave properly, and he wants us to be happy and joyful. And actually, I mean, though that's not necessarily untrue, God does want us to be good, and he does want us to be joyful. But more than that, he wants for us to know him. And that is a difficult thing because he is God, and we are not. And so a lot of it is going to be painful and uncomfortable. And especially in the time of COVID, I don't know if people have noticed, but COVID has been really discouraging. And I've been severely worn out. And even angry. I tend towards anger anyway. So writing for myself.
You don't look like it at all.
Oh, that's good. I keep it all bottled up inside so people can't see it. And when I come to the scripture, I should bring that with me. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't put on a face of happiness and you know, joy if I am in the depths. If I am needy and poor and worn out and angry and I think it's unfair or I didn't get what I thought I needed and who am I really going to take that to? Of course, I could take it to everyone in the world or I could bring it to the text and let God say something about it. God in the scriptures often, well, first he sounds mean sometimes. He employs sarcasm. He is short with his people, and he takes on the violence and the rage and the sin of his creation and copes with it. And so when you encounter that in the world and in yourself, you need to bring it to the text and let him say something about what that is and how you should understand it and how maybe you could even let it go.
I think in the context, we're not given permission very often to be upset, to be frustrated, to allowing ourselves to feel as God feels with the world, with sin and the brokenness. And I was recently with a group of Christians where I was leading a prayer meeting And I said, I want to hear you complain. I want to hear your frustrations. I want you to just let it out. But the only thing is, you got to pray it. So you're going to pray your complaints, which is half of the Psalms. This is a large portion of Scripture, and yet we try to approach everything within Christianity as though we have rose-colored glasses. I don't think that's necessarily helpful to the Christian development.
No, and I think the other thing we do is we think that we can do more than we can. Mm-hmm. You know, we think that God wants us to do something, and that we should do something, and that we have the ability to do something. So if you're in a, if you're worn out or you're angry, a lot of preaching and a lot of books give you steps to get out of your anger and your exhaustion. When actually, I mean, I've tried a lot of things, and the best way to get out of, to get rid of something that you feel like you shouldn't have, is to just to bring it to Christ as if you're a beggar and let him take it away from you. Let him solve that problem for you. So you're very, you're constantly in a, as a helpless child, coming to the Scripture, coming to Jesus, asking him to fix all of your problems. And that means saying what they are, admitting them when they're your fault or when they're somebody else's fault, not lying about the state of your life or your feelings. And if you do that, if you just come and tell the truth about yourself to God and then open the text, he will tell the truth from his perspective, using the words on the page. You don't need other kinds of words or other, you don't need to, and also you don't need to go through a lot of hoops. You don't need to do a lot of work. The work is that you show up and read the text, and God does the work. Mm-hmm. I think that that's really hard, and you can know that with your mind and still not be able to do it every day.
We've been talking with Ann Kennedy. Her book is called Nailed It, 365 Readings for Angry or Worn Out People. It's a great resource and something that will offer you a completely different perspective, and one that will hopefully welcome you into parts of the Scripture that you have probably overlooked if you are constantly consuming the next most popular Reader's Digest version of the Bible or daily devotionals. This one will force you to deal with some of the more complex and difficult passages that give you a more rounded understanding of who God is and how we are to approach him. It fits in perfectly with our series as we've been looking at book 3 of the Psalms in this summer Psalm series, breaking down all of these songs of priests and Levites, helping us walk through many deep and dark emotions. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 88, which is probably the darkest and the most difficult to deal with passages in this series, because it doesn't have a happy ending. It's one of two Psalms in the Bible that don't have an upbeat, at least kind of hopeful outcome. And in this message from Timothy Keller, he'll walk us through this psalm and explain to us why this is essential. This is honest to how we deal with our emotions and deal with what we're facing on a day-to-day basis, and how we can process those emotions as we take them to the throne of grace. Here is Timothy Keller.
First thing we learn here is that darkness can last a very long time. The teaching is you can pray and live rightly and still be absolutely plunged in both outside and inside darkness. Now, outside darkness is the darkness of circumstances out in this man's life. This man is having huge problems out there in his life. All of his closest friends and loved ones have been taken away from him, and he's facing imminent death. But there's also a darkness inside. See, if you have external darkness and internally you feel God's with you, you can handle it. But when you have external darkness and internal darkness, that's awful. And guess what? Here's a man who prays and prays and prays and does everything he possibly can. And yet when it's all done, he's still in darkness. And this psalm, at its heart, is giving us this tough message. You can be a good person, you can pray like crazy, and everything go wrong, and have no sense even of the presence of God in your life for a long time. That's the first point. And you say, what? Doesn't the Bible say God is always working everything out for good? The Bible also says this, that you may go all of your life and never have any idea what the good purpose is. Darkness, both spiritual and personal, can last a long time. However, times of darkness are some of the very best places to learn about God's grace. How so? This is a prayer. He's talking to God all the way through. He's talking to God, but he is not controlling his temper. It's more of a cross-examination. It's amazing. Look what he's doing. He says, "Do you show your wonders to the dead? To those who are dead, rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion?" You know what he's saying? He's cross-examining God. He's putting him in the dock. He says, "I want to praise you. I want to declare your faithfulness to the world. But how can I when I'm being trampled to the ground, deserted, and killed?" And that's the reason why in verse 15 he starts to say, "From my youth I've been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and I'm in despair." So you know what he's doing? He's taking the difficulty of his present and he's reading his entire life in light of it. And you know what he's saying? "You've never been there for me, God." But this only makes this psalm greater evidence of God's grace. You know why? God is saying, "I am your God, not because you put on a happy face every morning, not because you say everything just right, not because you do everything just right, not because you always speak reverently to me in deference. I'm your God because I'm a God of grace, in spite of all the things you do wrong. I'm your God." So dark times can last a long time. But secondly, those times can be the best times to learn about God's grace. But thirdly, third point, it is especially in times of absolute darkness where not only you don't see God working in your life, but you don't see God working inside your heart either. You don't even feel him present. Those times are perhaps the supreme opportunity for you to become someone great. When you're experiencing both darkness outside and inside, you're getting absolutely nothing out of prayer, and that's important. Oh, we say, "I want to pray and I want to read the Bible. I want to go to church. I want to sense God in my life," because you have needs, you know, because you got a problem or you got this or you got that and you want something from him. But as soon as things start to get hard and he's not answering your prayers and things aren't going the way you want, you start to say, "Hey, I'm giving up things. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Why isn't God coming through for me?" And because Satan is right about the self-centeredness of the human heart. But something has begun to happen to this guy. You know why? As bad as this psalm looks, he's screaming and he's bitter and he's despondent before God. Every single thing he does in this psalm is a prayer to God. He's even to the very end, when he says, "Your darkness is my closest friend," he's saying it to God. He's staying with God, even though he's getting nothing out of it. What does that mean? Satan has been defeated. And I want you to realize that when, and almost only when, you go into dual darkness, darkness where not only things are happening bad outside, but inside you don't even sense God there, a great choice comes to you. Now we'll see, finally, whether you got into this relationship to serve me or basically just to get me to serve you. Because when the darkness lifts or lessens, and it will, you will find that the pressure will have turned your heart into something wonderful, like pressure turns a lump of coal into a diamond. See, it's only in times of darkness that you can start to get an indomitable soul, a soul that cannot be dominated or daunted. So, darkness can last. Darkness can show you the grace of God. Darkness can turn you into something great. But lastly, darkness can be relativized. What do I mean by relativized? Well, when you're in the darkness, you actually do feel it's absolute. This man felt it. In other words, he felt that God's rejection of him was complete, that the darkness was absolute and permanent. But he was wrong. How do we know that? Well, this is a psalm written by the author, not David, but a man named H-E-M-A-N, Heman. And we know from 1 Chronicles 6 that Heman was the leader of the Korahite guild of musicians and poets who wrote psalms. But if Heman helped write the greatest psalms in the Psalter, that means that he has produced some of the greatest artistry in the history of the world. You've got the perspective of centuries now to look back and say, okay, so God did bring good out of that. But how can I know that God, when I feel abandoned in my darkness, when I feel God has totally rejected me in my darkness, how can I know that's true for me? And the answer is, yes, you can. And here's how you can. End of Psalm 39, "Turn your face away from me, God." End of Psalm 88, "Darkness is my closest friend." Does this remind you of anybody? How could it not? Matthew 27, verse 45, from the sixth hour to the ninth, darkness came down over all the land. And at the ninth hour, Jesus Christ on the cross cried, my God, why have you turned your face from me? Why have you forsaken me? And at that moment, the earth shook and the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of holy people who had died were raised to life. See, Jesus was truly abandoned, so you only feel abandoned, but you're not. When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that ultimate darkness was coming down on him, and he knew it was coming, and he knew it was coming, he didn't abandon you, he died for you. And if Jesus Christ didn't abandon you in his darkness, the ultimate darkness, why in the world would he abandon you in yours? Because Jesus Christ, it can be said truly of Jesus Christ, the darkness on the cross was his only friend. In your darkness, God is still there as your friend. And Jesus was really abandoned, so you can only feel abandoned, but you're not. He's working in that. And do you know what this means? There's an answer to the psalmist's question. This sarcastic, angry question in the middle of this psalm has been redeemed. Why? Because in the very middle, he says what? Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Because Jesus Christ died for your sins. The answer is yes. Someday we're going to rise from the dead and praise him because he took our penalty and he took our sins upon him. If you know the resurrection is coming, it's impossible to be in utter darkness.
It's hard to gain perspective when you're in a dark moment, when your soul seems to be overwhelmed by the weight of darkness. Yes, the weight. Even though darkness lacks any substance, we all get that sense that we are being weighed down by it, don't we? The reality is we've all been in this moment. We can all relate to it. When we read Psalm 88, we can all resonate with this heaviness of the soul, this darkness that seems to envelop around us. And yet we read this and recoil because we're afraid to be this honest. We're afraid to be this vulnerable with God. Why? He already knows our hearts. He already knows our thoughts. By trying to approach God as if we are something other than ourselves, we are actually lying to God, and that is a dangerous place to be in. Herman, in this Psalm 88, gives us a clear and honest perception of how he sees the world and how he sees himself in the midst of it. And this is where God can work in us. It's often in our darkest moments that we learn to reach out to God and we learn to grow throughout those moments. Although it's something we would never wish on somebody else, think about this. We would never wish this sort of trial or tribulation on people that we love. And yet God, who loves you more than you could even love yourself, he allows you to go through these dark moments because they teach us valuable lessons that we cannot learn otherwise. I hope that this encourages you, and maybe you'll go back and read Psalm 88 with a little bit of insight and perspective. But don't stop there. I want to encourage you to go on and read Psalm 89. It wraps up this whole series in Book 3 of the Psalms. It also leaves us with a positive, worshipful note. So there's your homework for today and this weekend. I hope that you have been encouraged. If you have, let us know. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime and our late founder, Dr. John DeBrine, who has always encouraged you to grow in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Psalm 85, 4 and 7. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.